begin with a word of prayer. Lord, even now, again, open up your word, pour out your spirit upon us. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts that dare to trust you and follow as you lead. Apply and give us your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Popular question for the last few weeks is, should Vladimir Putin be killed? Let's make it more personal. What would you do if you had the opportunity, considering all the lives he is taking and putting at risk and disrupting, if you could do something about it? That's a hard question. Our text today seems somewhat simple. Do not murder. But of course, there's a lot more to it than that. Again, these words are spoken to us in the context of the God who has loved us and delivered us and is offering to us blessings if we will listen and trust and obey. In Hebrew, this command is rather clear. No murder. That's all it says. No murder. As with most commands, it's not hard to understand. The word translated murder is only used in Scripture in the context of the unlawful taking of life, either planned or unplanned. That includes an injunction against being careless or negligent in a way that results in the taking of life. As if you have a bull that gores people and you don't keep them in a pen. You're guilty of murder. It's different from the word, the Hebrew word, to kill, which is spread all over the Old Testament. This word murder is not used about warfare or capital punishment or protecting yourself or others from attack or killing other forms of life. What is forbidden is taking matters into your own hands and ending the life of another. Jesus, we know, makes clear this is not just about outward actions, but the attitudes of the hearts and the words of our mouths. He said, you have heard that it is said, those who of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to counsel. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. The foundation of what Jesus is talking about there is what Paul calls the deeds of the flesh or the works of the flesh. And he lists them for us in Galatians 5. The works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. That's the root and the foundation for murder. And we live in a society that more and more is enslaved to those works of the flesh and more obsessed with murder. You see it in the news every day. You see it in the demand for the right of abortion, which no matter how you dress it up, is simply murdering those who can't protect themselves. In a society consumed with personal comfort and affluence, more and more we're hearing the call to get rid of those who are no longer productive. Whether you define productiveness by sex, male or female, or by age, or by special needs, more and more we're moving to a society that wants to remove all of that. God calls that murder and forbids us from doing so. Parents, be wise about the video games or the movies or the television that your children are watching and help them to see it in its proper context. Take this another step. Suicide is a growing problem. In fact, it is the 10th leading cause of death of all deaths in the United States. 47,500 people, more than 2.5 times who were murdered from homicide took their own lives in 2019. It's the second leading cause of death among those between 10 and 34 years old. If you're tempted by suicide, God hates it and calls it murder. It's not the unpardonable sin, but it is an act of selfish evil. But again, as with all the commandments, it's not just the negative that's in mind here. There is also a positive. And biblically speaking, the call here, the main thrust, is to recognize and bless life as a precious gift of our Father. It's a call to love our neighbor. The foundation for this is found in Genesis. God created man. Male and female, He created them in His own image. Every single human bears God's image. Paradoxically, that is reinforced in Genesis 9, where God gives capital punishment as a punishment for murder. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. Because man was made in God's image. And God will demand a reckoning, whether from man or beast, when murder takes place. Not to spend too much time here, but the murder of another human is an attack on God, is part of what's being communicated there. An attempt to be God. He alone has the power of life and the right to judge. Capital punishment simply removes those who have tried to take that right to themselves. Life is a precious gift of God and is to be blessed, whether it's the unborn, the special needs, or the elderly, or any and everyone else. We are to defend, honor, and give thanks for each and every life. Martin Luther, commenting on this, said, "This commandment is violated not only when a person actually does evil, but also when he fails to do good to his neighbor, or though he has the opportunity, fails to prevent, protect, and save him from suffering bodily harm or injury." Scripture is full of God's call to protect the poor or the weak or the fatherless or the afflicted or the destitute. Jesus separates the sheep from the goats about how they treat those who are thirsty and hungry and naked or imprisoned or are aliens. The applications go on and on. But the greatest way we positively enforce this commandment is by sharing Jesus, who gives life and gives it abundantly. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how will they call unless they have someone proclaiming to them? As I said earlier, this command is not hard to understand. On the other hand, obeying it is. In fact, as it is with all of them, it's impossible in our own strength. The essence of sin is to be in rebellion against God. And we rebel against God in this command by hating ourselves and hating others in thought and word and deed. And Satan loves to take that and fan that into a flame. Biblical counselor David Powelson has a book entitled Good and Angry. And he has a chapter in there that simply is entitled, "Do you have a serious problem with sin?" The chapter is one word. Yes! Exclamation mark. We all have a problem with anger. Anger is the root of murder. Anger that springs from not being in control, of having others not do what we want them to do the way we want them to do it. Anger springs from constantly being reminded we're not God. And because of that, we lash out and try to take control. And there's no difference whether you do that simply in your thoughts or with your words or with your deeds. 4 times a day, I have to drive through a 4-way stop sign. I struggle mightily with thoughts. I don't think they can hear what I'm saying as I get through there. How much do we have a problem with anger? We all fall short of the glory of God. The problem with the lack of control is not an attempt to try to gain more control. but a call to know Him who alone is worthy and capable of being in control. Being reminded that we are not God, that we aren't in control, is actually a gift from God. The frustrations we have with life and with one another are not by themselves a good gift, but a gift that's good because they bring us to the end of ourselves and cause us to cry out, Lord, help. Lord, deliver me. They bring us to Jesus. And Jesus alone has conquered death. Jesus is Lord. And at its heart, this command is again a call to honor Him as Lord with our thoughts and our words and with our deeds. To turn to Him and ask Him to deliver us from our anger and from death itself, and to give us the life, to restore to us the ability to recognize the image of God in everyone and anyone we meet, no matter how much they've tried to cover it up with sin. Lord, help us to see that image that You have imprinted on everyone, and help us to bless and to encourage it. The command demands we keep asking Jesus for help by the Spirit so that we can see and encourage that image bearing in each and every one. It's what creation is about, and it's what Jesus brings about through redemption. This demands we pray for, serve, encourage, and challenge each person that God brings into our lives. Again, as Jesus summed it, it's how we love our neighbor, which we can only do as we receive and rest in the love of God in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. So are you daring to pray for yourself, to know the love of God in Christ that's beyond measure, and to be filled up with the fullness of that love by the Holy Spirit so you can wisely and powerfully love your neighbor? Are you daring to pray that the Lord would help you and work through you, that others would know that love of Christ that surpasses knowledge? If you're here now and wrestling with suicide, you need to ask the Lord's Spirit to help you to listen to Him instead of to your own heart, and especially not to the enemy of that heart. You need to ask that you might see that He does love you infinitely, perfectly, wisely, and has blessings for us now and for all eternity. You need to ask Him to help you to die to self, because at its heart, suicide is the most selfish act there is. And instead of being selfish, to live the abundant life that you're created and redeemed for, which comes through serving and giving and blessing others. That is, by obeying this command in its ultimate positive way. If you're struggling with that right now, come talk to me or to others and get the help you need for that journey. By the way, in regard to Putin, you can't murder him, but you can pray that the Lord would change his heart. You can pray that the Lord would call him to Himself. And if not, then as the imprecatory Psalms show us, you can pray that his plans backfire on himself and bring the judgment he deserves. But you can't take matters into your own hands, whether it's Vladimir Putin or some neighbor that plays loud music at 3 o'clock in the morning, or who won't go through a four-way stop sign until there's no one within a mile of the road. So how do we obey this command? How are we to bless life? First and foremost, by drawing near to Him who's the Lord of life, who blesses and fills us up with His love and His fullness, so that we don't feel the need to murder, but instead to bless and to serve and to give and to share mercy and grace and abundant goodness. Drawing near to Jesus is the only way we can obey this commandment. But as we draw near, as we receive, as we die to self and give our lives back to Him, recognize that holiness is not found in finding some cocoon or secret place. I saw some group of people got together and bought an abandoned island someplace. You can go live there if you want. But even if you're by yourself, there's still going to be someone you're going to hate. Obeying this command means listening and trusting the Lord. And then obeying with your thoughts and your words and your deeds. It's not about a formula that one way fits all, but living with the abundant one, the Lord of life, so that more and more we have His heart and His wisdom and His power leading and directing us. Again, go read the Gospels. Jesus deals with each person individually. And He gives us His Spirit so that we have what we need to be His blessing to each individual He brings into our lives. By the Spirit, seeing His image in each person and encouraging that and challenging that. And by the way, be sure to understand, most people will not appreciate you doing that. As Paul makes clear, we're the stench of death to some. And the more we show them life, the more they know what they deserve, and they'll hate us for it. That's not your concern. Your concern, your calling is to be the stench of life, the abundant life that is ours in Christ. How that's received is in the Lord's hands, and we trust Him and follow Him, seeking God's glory and the good of others. Giving water to those who are thirsty, food to those who are hungry, clothes to those who are naked, visiting those in prison, and caring for the alien in our midst with our time and our abilities and our finances. That's our calling. As a church, we've wrestled with this, and that's why we've joined with Willing Helpers, the food bank, and the medical clinic, and they're now working with the homeless. Or the pregnancy center that fights to protect the unborn. Or with our missionaries who are sharing that good news around the world. Who has God put in your life this week? Who will He bring to you tomorrow? How would He have you bless, encourage, and call them to the abundant life that is ours in Christ? When everybody else is trying to take, you're God's gift of giving and serving and blessing. Because that's what the Lord has done for us. As we have received, as we are receiving, as we will receive, may we be His blessing, a blessing of life. May He use that to add to our number, those who are being saved. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, how quick we are to jump to the conclusion, I haven't murdered anyone because we haven't done it physically. But how hard it is, Lord, to think about whether we've encouraged and served and blessed and help others to see Your image in them. Would You, Lord, forgive us of our sins? And would You strengthen us to bless for the abundant life we are receiving? In Jesus, amen.